Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Sylvia Rayner as my special expert guest. Sylvia is a certified neuro-optimal neurofeedback trainer, a registered clinical hypnotherapist, and the founder of Cortex Hypnosis and Mental Training, located in Squamish, British Columbia, helping athletes improve their mental game at all levels to improve skill and achieve top performance is Sylvia's passion. Although sport is the main focus of her practice, she works on a wide range of cases and issues such as stopping addictions, improving self-confidence, coping with anxiety and phobias, pain management, and healing trauma. Sylvia's dream is to help people free their minds to transform and create the life they really want. Sylvia uses hypnosis, neuro-optimal EEG biofeedback, and a host of tried and tested practical techniques to get real, lasting results. Good morning, Sylvia, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
It's wonderful to have you as my special expert guest, and in particular, I have a fascination with hypnosis and the regions of the mind that are like a mighty universe unto itself. But let's talk about what it is that you do. Maybe you could tell us from your perspective or vantage point what Cortex Hypnosis is all about, and maybe you could tell us about what it is you do and kind of services you provide for your clients.
Sure, I'd be happy to. So the bio that you just gave is a great overview. How that plays out day to day is we offer one-on-one services. So we'll work with people in person or sometimes by phone or by Skype if they don't live in the region. And we look at their life and figure out what behavioral changes they want to make to improve it. And then we use hypnosis, and sometimes we use neurofeedback now, and other mental training techniques to get them to achieve their goals and what they really want. We also do seminars, motivational speaking, and we do courses. So, for instance, I'm delivering a couple of courses in October for trainers specifically to learn about how to get their clients to have that winning mindset using the same kinds of techniques that I use. I'm also going to deliver a course on self-care for caregivers because, as we know, a lot of people who work in mental health, parents of young children, people who have aging elderly parents don't take the time that they need for themselves, and they need to know how to do that. Now, when we do courses, they're a little bit different from your regular courses because we reinforce the learning with hypnosis. So there's a sort of lecture and Q&A portion, and that's followed by a group hypnosis session. So everything that is learned consciously is then reinforced subconsciously in hypnosis, which makes the learning really fun, relaxing, and effortless.
Wow, that sounds great. I'm all up for that. Now, this is a particularly unique field. Like, you don't walk around and run into 100 hypnotists a day. I don't know what stats would relate to how many people actually out there are trained in the field or understand even what hypnosis is. How did you get into this field? What attracted you to it? And what events led you to becoming a professional hypnotist?
Well, I sort of fell into it. I was dating a guy who had been to a hypnotherapist and found it really helpful and fascinating. And he told me about it. And to be honest, I was totally skeptical when I first heard about hypnotherapy. I was just getting to know this guy, and it almost made me stop dating him that he brought it up because I was a little bit closed-minded about it. I thought, this is just nuts. I had the same preconceptions that a lot of people do, the same kinds of imagery in my mind that is propagated by the media about, you know, a person sort of controlling somebody else, making them bark like a dog, all of that kind of stuff. But because I liked the guy and I like to try to keep an open mind about everything, I decided to get in touch with this hypnotherapist. And we actually started working together on a publishing project because he had written a book. So while I'm working away with him on this project, because I used to work in publishing, you see, I just became absolutely fascinated with hypnosis. So intrigued that I thought, I have to learn more about this. I have to do it myself. So I asked this hypnotherapist, who's a wonderful, wonderful hypnotherapist in Vancouver named Rob Hadley, by the way. He's great, great. He's been in the business for a long time, and he's very, very good at what he does. So I asked Rob if he would train me, and he happened to be starting a course the next month. So he said, just show up and see what you think. After the first weekend of the course, I was absolutely hooked. And from then on, I just haven't looked back. I feel like hypnotherapy combines a whole bunch of really fascinating things, including the workings of the human mind, the possibility for transformation and change in humans and achieving their best, as well as a certain amount of performance and really intimate, fascinating human connections. So it kind of blended together things that had always been interesting to me personally, and I guess that I had some talent for. And after working with me for a little while, you know, Rob pulled me aside and he said, Sylvia, hypnotists are born. I think they're not made. And this is what you need to do. Like, you have to keep going with this. And I agreed. So I just plunged into it. And before I knew it, I had my own practice. And here I am.
And I'm sure you're offering some wonderful insight and advice to the people that you work with. Now, I'm just thinking about people, like in the field of homeopathy, it's very difficult to work with people that come in thinking it's all a waste of time and there's nothing to it and it defies science. And so right off the bat, they erect barriers and walls. It makes it almost impossible for them to benefit at all from the intimacy, from the likelihood of them responding at all in any favorable way, because they've already decided it's not going to work. What about people that have the same attitude about what you do? Is there a difference between people you work with who respond really, really well and those who don't respond at all? Is there a difference in the mindset?
First of all, everyone can be hypnotized, and really all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. So that question comes up a lot as to whether, you know, can I even be hypnotized? The answer is yes. The point that you bring up about how receptive somebody is an important one. You definitely have to be open to it. And the more that a person can let go and trust, I would say, the more likely that they're going to get better results faster. Having said that, I put the onus on myself to create the rapport that builds a trust that enables somebody to do that, because that's my job. I mean, I am up against, as I mentioned earlier, these preconceived notions of hypnosis, which I myself used to have, so I totally understand that. But when somebody comes into my office, one of the first things that we do is demystify hypnosis, explain exactly how it works, and make sure that they completely understand the process so that they are able to then feel safe and be able to go along, essentially, with what we're going to do.
What you just said was a real gem. You put the onus on yourself. That is wonderful, because you're right. It is our responsibility as professionals to set an environment and discuss the concept or present it in such a way that mirrors and maps and connects with that individual standing in front of us. And so what you said could apply to anything, really, other than what you're trying to get across in your message. It's just relationships. That's remarkable. Now, is it possible to hypnotize? Now, am I using the correct terminology? Would you say that you're hypnotizing someone? Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Is it possible to hypnotize me over, say, Skype? You and I are Skyping, and we've got a video conference going on. Could you hypnotize me if I was willing to participate?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh,
yeah.
So you don't
Skype
need to have the frequency of the actual connection in the same room or the hand touch feely kind of stuff. Okay, that's cool.
You can do it over the phone. You don't even actually need to have the visual cues. I mean, I like Skype because I can watch the subject's face, and there are all kinds of signs of hypnosis, and there are physical things that we can see that sort of point to what depth of hypnosis somebody is in, because there are different depths. So I like having the visual cues, but sometimes some people are more comfortable over the phone, or they don't have a reliable internet connection. So working over the phone is perfectly adequate. All they need to be able to do is hear the sound of my voice. And I create hypnotic MP3s for many of my clients that they use in between sessions, or for instance, right before a big match, right, or performance. If they won't be able to speak to me right at that time, then they can just use a recording that I've made. That's not quite the same as one-on-one, moment-to-moment interaction. That is always the best. But we can do so much with just the voice, even the recorded voice. It's quite incredible.
So is it possible that you're actually hypnotizing me right now without me being aware of it? You're kind of setting me up so that I ask you the right questions?
It's possible.
Oh, I'd love
You'll
that
probably
ability.
Figure
oh,
it
goodness.
Out later.
That's wonderful. You know, I love the health field because it generates a lot of humor and beauty. And that's one of the reasons why I'm in it, as opposed to some other opportunities or choices. But now let's consider the other side. Conventional medicine, what's their take on this form of therapy? Do they buy into it? Do they absolutely reject it? What's their position?
Hypnosis has a really rich history in medicine, actually. And you may be surprised to know that the British Medical Association approved the use of hypnosis specifically for psychoneuroses and hypnoanesthesia for pain management, for surgery, for childbirth back in 1955. The American Medical Association accepted it as a healing modality in 1958. And 2 years later, the American Psychological Association endorsed hypnosis and includes it now as a branch of psychology. So officially, it is totally recognized. Unofficially, I have yet to meet a medical doctor that learned hypnosis in school. I have encountered some sports psychologists that learn about guided imagery and are interested in hypnosis. But generally, I think conventionally, it's not often used or talked about, which is a shame because I work with a lot of medical practitioners and healthcare providers, and they're always so amazed when they learn about how the subconscious mind works and how powerful it is, and they wish they knew what I knew so that they could use it in their work. And in the future, I think that is going to become a branch of what Cortex does, is teaching healthcare professionals and teachers and coaches and trainers more and more how to use these same skills.
Wow, very cool. And it's wonderful to know that. And again, maybe the profitability in like a 2-minute session, you know, the person waits for intervention, they talk to a doctor, he gives them or she gives them a prescription, and that takes a total of maybe 3 minutes. So maybe it can't compete with that profitability. Because you would think that if it's approved by medicine and it works and there's value, that there'd be more people doing it. There's got to be a reason. It's great that there's people like you that are taking over that responsibility. What about, let's get into the athletic paradigm. The athlete committed to sport, skill training, wants to perform better. Maybe they got some gobbledygook stuff going on in the mind. They're not, you know, really confident, or they get the jitters before they go up in front of the public. Like, they practice really well. They're great athletes, but when they get in front of a group or someone watching, they lose it. What kind of potential can you offer, like, through hypnosis for the athlete?
I would say the number one use for hypnosis in sports that is applicable to every single athlete that walks through our doors is confidence and self-efficacy. Self-efficacy being the confidence that one can do well, right? So positive confidence, not the confidence that I'm going to fail, for instance. When an athlete has confidence, they can excel and perform to their best. Without it, they're not likely to get anywhere. Okay, so building confidence, we do with rebuilding confidence after a poor match, an accident, a trauma. We work on negative self-talk, turning that around. We can improve focus. We can improve composure. So recovering from mistakes right in the middle of a game, for instance, or a performance. We can improve mental flexibility. We can increase motivation. We can improve commitment. We can help with injury, pain management. We can help people to go all out and just increase their relentlessness in play and their tenacity. What else can we do? We can help people find their flow state and learn to trigger it at will with an anchor. So it's really limitless. It's so powerful. I'm really pleased to be able to talk to you about this, obviously, because I'm very passionate about it. But the change that we see in the people that come through our doors that are fearful or upset, that don't enjoy their game anymore, and then to see them walk out and be excited and fearless and really get to achieve their dreams. And it's not just about winning medals, right? It's not just about winning the race, getting the best time, lifting the most. Those things are great and fun. But personally, what I'm really interested in is seeing the holistic health of the athlete, seeing that they are mentally balanced, that they are not coping with increased load on their central nervous system because they are being stressed and traumatized by the sport that they do, because that happens. I'm just all about seeing an athlete become a truly healthy, happy individual who enjoys what they do and is using sport as a way to self-confidence, personal betterment, and growth.
Yeah, and who doesn't need all that stuff? I mean, so really there's no place that hypnosis can't find a way to provide value and benefit. And I suppose, like everything else, you have to know how it works and when to work it. You talked about subconscious. You know, we'll get into the conscious mind, and we're getting into some very interesting areas. I've been trying to understand what consciousness is for no less than 40 years. I think so has all of the rest of the world. And I'm talking from a scientific point of view. The sentient individual, the I am, the self-awareness, the enlightenment, the thing that I feel that I am, nobody can put their finger on it. We really don't know where it comes from. We don't know where it is or where it comes from. And exactly, like, is it the lightning between the neurons? It's not actually in the neurons. But when you say subconscious, what's your take on how hypnosis actually works from what you have learned and what you know regarding the science?
So in terms of consciousness, I have no idea either. And I tend to think that we are potentially epistemically bounded in that sense as humans, but we may never be able to actually put our finger on consciousness. It's an interesting question, but it remains an open question, and that's probably what's so fascinating about it, right? In terms of how hypnosis works, when I say conscious mind, what I mean is the part of you that plans ahead, analyzes, thinks, future-oriented. It's really kind of the newest part of our brain, right? Everything that's in the prefrontal cortex, that part of you is the part of you that decides, I want to do this. The subconscious is the part of you that just drives the behavior. The subconscious is built up from childhood by experience, and it's where all of our belief systems reside, okay? So everything that you experience as a child, everything that you're exposed to informs your perspective of reality. And you have all of these belief systems that get built up, including about who you are and what you're capable of, by the way. And our belief system is often mismatched to reality there. We often think we're capable of far less than we actually are. But you have these belief systems, and the thing about the subconscious is that it's all about homeostasis. It wants to preserve you, and it wants to do that by staying with the rules that it's made that have so far kept you alive. It's quite primitive, right? It cares about your basic self-preservation, and it's great that it's like that. It's kind of like the programming in a computer. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. It's wonderful. Please continue.
Okay, so that's the subconscious. And then as you develop, as you get into adolescence, you're developing the conscious mind, right? The part that we talked about earlier, the planning, thinking, reasoning, the part that looks around and says, like, where do I fit in the world? What do I want to do, etc. These two parts of the mind are separated by what we call the critical faculty. The critical faculty is like a filter, okay? And once that's formed, again, this is usually around sort of early adolescence that this happens. Once the critical faculty is formed, when you hear something, watch something, speak to somebody, learn anything new, it hangs out in the conscious mind for a little while, and then it gets passed to this critical faculty. The critical faculty's job is then to go into the subconscious and check, does this knowledge match what I already know? If the answer is no, what do you think happens? It gets
bounced out.
Right.
Right.
Okay, so all of your beliefs are now self-reinforcing, and you tend to only see in the world what you already know, what you've already formed in those belief systems.
Isn't that about cognitive dissonance? Isn't that what that's sort of tied into?
Yes, let me get to cognitive dissonance in a second, okay? That's really interesting.
Okay, that's coming, sorry.
No, it's good, it's good. So in hypnosis, which, by the way, is really just an altered state of consciousness, okay, where you have increased focus and heightened suggestibility. It's a state that you've been in and out of many, many times. In fact, you will probably go in and out of hypnosis multiple times today. I can explain a bit more about that in a second. But when you're in hypnosis, we can relax that critical faculty. And in so doing, we open the mind to new suggestions that allow you to change those belief systems that are sitting in the subconscious that are dictating your behavior automatically. And once that's done, you can replace those old behaviors with new behaviors, the desired behavior, the behavior that you desire consciously, but that you never seem to be able to do. Now, you mentioned cognitive dissonance. Milton Erickson, who's kind of known as the grandfather of modern hypnosis. He was an incredible therapist. He was a psychologist and just contributed so much to the field. It's incredible. He said, your clients will be your clients, or he might have used the word patients, but your clients will be your clients insofar as they are out of rapport with their conscious and their subconscious mind. So when you want to do something, but you find yourself doing another, that is tremendously distressing for us. And we all have that all the time. Like, you see it with people, I'm sure, with nutrition, who want to eat better and yet keep stumbling and eating the same old, toxic, bad,
99%
food. Right.
99%.
So, and it's very stressful to constantly want to do something, but to find yourself doing something else. That's what makes hypnosis so powerful. We can get rid of that cognitive dissonance. Now, I mean, technically, I think cognitive dissonance is a term that applies to the conscious mind only, to trying to hold two thoughts that are contradictory in the mind at once, right? To have two competing beliefs. I'm not sure if that term encompasses the conscious and the subconscious or not, but it's the same principle. Right? You've got two things sort of at war with each other in the same mind and body. And when you alleviate that kind of conflict in the human, they become healthy, happy, and whole, and peaceful.
So I'm going to assume then that you don't blame what you refer to as that struggle as a function of original sin, as it's exemplified in Romans. In the book of Romans, Paul the Apostle says, why don't I do the things I want to do, and why do I keep destroying myself and others? I don't want to, but I keep doing it. And ultimately, as you know, the Christian theology blames the original sin of Adam that's in us, right? Do you buy into that? Is that part of your paradigm, or do you see that humans are not stuck with that sin? Because that's kind of what it's suggesting. And there's no way out of it. We're just born into sin. We're stuck with it. So this state that we're in, this absolute struggle of wanting to do good but failing, you're saying that it's possible not to experience that, to find a way out of it?
I think absolutely it's possible.
And I agree 100%. Yeah. That's wonderful. What you just said, it makes so much sense, and it sounds so wonderful. It's such good stuff, because what you're suggesting is that through therapy and counsel and work on both parties, that it's possible to dig ourselves out of the hole that we're in, that usually we create ourselves. You're right on. I deal with a lot of athletes who are incredible athletes. They're elite, they're powerful, they're driven, incredibly disciplined, but when it comes to diet, they suck. They eat garbage and crap and French fries and trans fats coming out their ears. They put regard into it, especially the young ones, as you know, the 16, 17-year-olds. Mm-hmm. You know, they're rewarded with McDonald's. They're fed the slop at the cafeteria at school. They're raised on it in home, you know, Hostess ding-dongs, Cheerios, all the worst garbage in the world. So there's this neurological imprint. There is, obviously, in my field, biochemistry, and the blood sugar, insulin, hyperinsulinemia, the whole charade that goes on inside the body as it's growing up from a child. So we got these addictions layered in to multiple layers of neurons. And everyone thinks it's normal and natural because everyone's doing it. So it gets them into trouble, as you well know. So you're saying that hypnosis is possible to relieve that struggle. What kind of a session process would you say that that would take for a person who's struggling with food addiction or wanting to change it? What kind of scenario are they looking at with you on a professional level?
In terms of how long hypnosis takes to work, I always tell people sometimes hypnosis is an event and sometimes it's a process. So I've had people walk into my office and they've experienced a phobia their entire lives or a symptom, or they have something like that that's very acute that they need to change that's been bothering them, and we do one session and bang, it's gone, and it's gone for good. And you can kind of feel it when that happens. You're just unburdening somebody, or they're unburdening themselves, really, of something that they've been carrying around, and it's just gone. Sometimes, if there's a belief, like we talked about those belief systems, if there's a belief that's been in there for a long time that's reinforced constantly by everything in that person's ecology, so their culture, their family, their friends, the media, like everything that they're exposed to, those things can be more persistent and they take longer to change. It also depends on the person's receptivity, like we talked about before, and how long it takes to sort of break through the layers of what might be underneath the presenting issue. With food specifically, I do find that while we can get results right away, in order to persistently change somebody's attitude toward food and the way that they use food, it can be a longer term type of situation because it's something that you're exposed to every day, right? It's all around you. You're being fed imagery constantly by advertisements telling you to eat stuff that's not good for you. And that's very powerful. So it takes time. Like, you know, because you come from a science background, you understand about neurogenesis and how it works. Habit formation does take some time to get deep into the neurology, particularly if it's something that where like the habit is something you're exposed to multiple times a day, as it is with eating. So with an eating program, I would say you're looking at an 8-20 session deal. And after that, you can be pretty confident once you've seen somebody go through a couple of months, 1-3 months, I would say, of getting into the correct program, you're looking really good. You're in really good shape as far as that habit formation for life. But what I always say to clients is, you know, check in with yourself. Enjoy whatever changes and transformations that you have. But if you feel yourself slipping at all, part of your job now is to catch that early and then either come back and see me or practice whatever self-hypnosis techniques I teach you. You know, you have to be responsible for that for the rest of your life. But eventually, any habit that you undertake long enough, including healthy habits, is just going to be totally automatic. And that happens, and it's beautiful to see. Yeah, so a bit of a long-winded answer to your question, but it totally depends on the issue and on the individual. And normally after meeting with somebody and talking to them, and I always offer free consultations for new clients, then I can give a pretty accurate estimation for what it's going to take.
So you're providing counsel and therapy, and you're also training. Are you providing certification for students to learn this technique, then they can use it in their own private practice? Is that what you're doing as well?
I'm glad you asked about certification. I'm working on a certification program right now that I'd like to launch probably next year. In the meantime, though, I can offer private training to anybody who wants to learn, not just to do hypnosis, although I think that's really valuable, but also even if they don't want to do hypnosis, offer hypnosis to their clients, it's worth learning everything that I know about how the mind works and how people's learning styles work and everything that we learn from a hypnotherapeutic perspective as to how to work with people without even using hypnosis to get the best results out of them, because those skills are unfortunately lacking in the training for coaches and trainers and doctors and most people that work with people.
Yes, good. So what is your website address, Sylvia, and what will we find when we get to your website?
So my website address is www.cortexhypnosis.com, and you will find there notes about what it is that we do, more specifically than what we discussed here today. You'll see the bios for me and my colleague, Brent, and you can learn more about the services that we offer in detail, as well as how to contact us, etc. Over time, I'll be adding a lot of content to the website. My next project is to put up every published journal article on hypnosis that I can find, and I think I've got about 200 that I'm going to be able to link to. So just to provide that resource for people that, like you, I think, and probably many of your listeners, have a scientific background and would like to know more about actual research that's been done in hypnosis.
Absolutely. I can see personal trainer also being a hypnotic counselor, or I guess the correct terminology is hypnotherapist. Now, what a cool twist that is. Okay, just a minute. Sit down, you hypnotize the dude, and then he has a huge power workout. You know?
Oh, my goodness. My best clients, the reason that I'm creating this certification is because the best clients that I have, the ones that love my workshops, love my courses, come back and ask a million questions, are all coaches and trainers. They see what I do for athletes and they want to be able to do it, right? I mean, it's just a no-brainer. Like if you can get those kinds of results fast for people and just amp them up in that way, you just see them grow by leaps and bounds so quickly. And isn't that what every trainer wants? Right? They want their clients to get results. That's what makes it satisfying for both people in that relationship.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it's great.
When you do reach that state, I'd love to invite you to be an education partner. Like InfoFit, we have that group as a mutual friend, don't we? Della and Andre? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So they're an education partner. So I've got a listing of people. And in order to qualify, you have to provide education that certifies somebody, like InfoFit does. And then what I do is I network the group. So all of those people know about me, but then all of my people know about you. Because I encourage people to continuously upgrade themselves in every way possible, but specifically mentally and intellectually with advanced education degrees, certificates, experiences, because as you know, we can never know too much provided it's the right knowledge and it's generating a wonderful outcome, which is what you are all about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our time is gone. What a wonderful interview. I've enjoyed speaking with you so much.
Thank you. Me too. It's been great.
Yeah. What I'd like to ask you to complete our session is something that's on your mind, maybe that's relevant for the person out there who maybe is struggling. Also,
yeah,
those of us who are curious about life and its meaning, are trying to find purpose in our lives, what is a good word that you can share with our group, our people, our students aged from 16 up to 90 that would be of benefit to them from you?
What I would say to anyone listening is that nothing about how you are as a person is fixed. And if there is something that is bothering you, something about how you are, what you do, how you feel, even if nobody knows about it, you can change it and you can be free of whatever it is that's bothering you or making your life more difficult than it needs to be. you can explore your potential and you can always, always get better. I'll leave you with the words of a Zen master that I heard recently, which I really liked. And this is sort of my whole approach to the work that I do. You are all perfect just as you are, and you could use a little improvement.
What a beautiful and wonderful word. Oh my goodness, that was just outrageously brilliant. Sylvia Rainier is a certified neuro-optimal neurofeedback trainer, a registered clinical therapist, and the founder of Cortex Hypnosis and Mental Training, located in Squamish, B.C. This woman is a real mover and a shaker, people. Get to her website, cortexhypnosis.com, if you're interested in her therapy, or if you're looking at improving your educational profile, please make a contact with Sylvia. Sylvia, we thank you so much for your contribution today, and we really want you to continue doing what you're doing to help change our world and make it a better place.
Thank you, Dr. C. It was an absolute pleasure.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Representing lifestyle, new way of life. Listen, it's SNU, sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight, Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life, live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.